It's the Let's Go Eat and Drink Show with hosts Jimmy Santangelo and Bill Allred. I'm your announcer, Zach Caton, and we're coming to you live on tape from the wonderfully appointed Media Center at Visit Salt Lake. Wouldn't you like to record in a studio like this? Maybe you can. Visit www.visitsaltlake.com. Our guest today is the mayor of Salt Lake City, Aaron Mendenhall. As mayor, Aaron is working hard to make Salt Lake City more environmentally and economically resilient. Determined to bring scientific understanding to air quality discussions in the state legislature. She is also determined to ensure every Salt Laker, no matter their neighborhood, economic or housing status, faith, race, or sexual or gender identity, can access all the city has to offer. We are proud to call Aaron the mayor of our great Salt Lake City. And now, here are your hosts, Jimmy and Bill.
On a show, I don't think.
I would.
I don't think you would.
I don't know. I think I've sworn on the radio program.
Oh, you might have.
Big swears.
No, like
swears.
Damn.
Yeah, you could do bigger swears than that.
Not much on the radio,
How's the mic level for the mayor, Doss?
Should I pre-pour? Are you going to pour the kombucha, or should I pre-pour?
We're going to pre-pour.
Okay.
Did you get
the name
of the woman who owns the place, Jim?
Yeah, I did not. I believe it's Raquel. Do you know who owns the...
No, I don't, because I've been going to...
You're the mayor, you should know.
HK.
HK, where's that one?
It's behind, you know, the Tesla shop on Third West
from
Target? And there used to be an engine shop behind that
okay.
has been reused.
Is it Visit Salt Lake that you're a member of?
Yeah, of which you are a member? How is that better?
How's
with volume level 1, 2, 3? I guess I'm having some mic issues.
You're good.
Is it better if it was up there?
You're good too.
Okay.
Okay. Can we see the bunny?
You can see the bunny.
All right. But what?
But you can't see the bike.
That's okay.
Just the handlebars.
I just like the fact that the mayor rode a bike.
It's fantastic. An inspiration to us all.
All right.
Yeah.
Are we going? Are we
yes.
set? Okay.
We're going.
All right. A lot of this chit chat right here ends up as part of the show, which is
really high quality shit here.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there we go. Out of the gate, the mayor says the S word. You know, that's one of the words that this is Mayor Aaron Mendenhall, by the way, Salt Lake City mayor. That's one of the words that I can't say on the radio.
Oh.
You can't. So
there's seven.
I feel like I hear you say it though. No. So you must bring the effect.
I do. I mean, you can feel that I want to say
it. It's on the airwaves.
There are several words that you just absolutely cannot say, according to the FCC, and that is one of them, which I didn't know. And our previous owner of ours, we said to him, can't we say the word shit occasionally? And he said, well, I don't know. And I said, I mean, come on, everybody says that. Your grandmother says it. You know, your grandmother drops a casserole on the floor and she goes, oh, shit. You know, you know, everybody. So why can't? And he said,
sweet.
Yeah, you're right. Why don't you? So we would occasionally say it. And then he, and it went on for about a year, and then he came in and he said, I just talked to our lawyer. And no one has complained, but if they do, then the FCC will start messing with our license. Here, we don't worry about that because this is all just
internet,
on the internet.
Podcast, YouTube.
Yep. Okay, we're officially beginning. I have to read
all
the sponsor.
Right.
Dawson, thanks for printing up the sponsor.
It's Jimmy.
Okay, it's your job, you know.
Do you leave the door open, too?
No, we probably...
Okay.
We probably should shut the door.
It's a real laid-back thing here. Anybody could come in, really, and join the conversation.
Could. Yeah, that'd be all right.
We invite people periodically.
Mm-hmm. At any rate, let me tell you, thanks everybody for watching and listening, whichever you do on your podcast devices. Beehive Cheese, which we have right here, and please, Mayor Mendenhall, feel free.
I'll dive in.
What cheese is this, Jimmy?
We have the porcini encrusted cheese, so nice mushroom.
Okay. In a league of its own, Utah's Beehive Cheese elevates humble cheddar to artisanal greatness.
Yeah? I agree.
Yeah?
Yeah.
With spirited flavors that spark conversation. Producing award-winning cheeses that bring friends and family together, Beehive Cheese earned first place at the 2022 American Cheese Competition. Excuse me, that's the American Cheese Society Competition. And were named makers of the best American cheese in the world. At the World Cheese Awards at 2021, they earned the Slow Food Snail of Approval. Bravo. Late 2022, Beehive Cheese is also one of only seven American cheesemakers to be B Corp certified. And do you have any idea what B Corp certified
is? Yeah, it means they're decent people to work for. They take care of their employees. They pay a decent wage. Benefits.
Very good. I did not know what that meant. And I just read it, and then I said, Dawson, well, I'm reading something. I don't know what it is. And then so they added that, so I knew.
I probably missed the point of what actually is.
You got it. Transparency, employee benefits, charitable giving. You were right on. This is why this woman is the mayor of Salt Lake City. Also, we have this lovely kombucha here. It's from Replenish Kombucha. And it's over in the Liberty Wells neighborhood.
Yep.
And it's
Renourish.
Renourish?
Mm. Right by Liberty Park.
Renourish, not Replenish. I wrote Replenish, and it's not. It's Renourish. It's very good. Salt Lake City Mayor Aaron Mendenhall. This is your second term as mayor? Yeah?
Yes, indeed it is.
And you still like it?
I like it so much.
We'll get into why.
A lot of people wonder.
Mayor Mendenhall, are you originally from Salt Lake? We've talked about this a long time ago, but...
No, I was born in Mesa, Arizona, in a double-wide trailer, and my family lived there until I was 7 in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And we moved up to Sandy.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was diagnosed with cancer around that time.
I remember you telling me, yeah.
So he needed a job that didn't send him all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we landed here.
Yeah, and you've been here ever since.
I moved to 9th and 9th neighborhood when I was 17 years old, 2 days after high school.
When did you get into public life?
I never expected to.
Why did you?
Because I was upset about air quality, pollution, and I felt like I either had to leave or do something about it, and I didn't quite know how I wanted to do something about it. I didn't have any training in either activism or nonprofit work or air quality, so I started volunteering. And that evolved into co-founding a nonprofit.
Reeve Utah?
Yeah.
Is that what?
I started with Utah Moms for clean air.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
remember
yeah.
that back in the day?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And started as a volunteer. I was their first employee, and then a bunch of us from Moms branched off to make Breathe.
What did you think you were going to do with your life as a career?
Well, when I was a kid, I wanted to be a dentist. I say a kid, but even through college, I wanted to be a dentist.
You kind of thought you might go away to dental school?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My sister is a dentist.
Ah.
She was the first female dentist in the Phoenix area. She's my stepsister. She's a lot older than me. And she was my role model. So I still think I would like being a dentist, but I'm definitely not going to dental school.
Practice at home?
I might hang my
She's
small business.
Slam the door.
No.
Dental practice.
Aaron, Aaron, you know, that you laugh, but did you
Here's
ever do that?
Shot of tequila, and we'll get to work.
Yeah, that.
Hold still. It'll just take
a man. My parents did that to me once.
Oof.
Slam the
tequila?
I was like, no. They got me drunk, but for other reasons. I think it'd be great. You just operate a little, you know, under the covered
no,
dentistry.
I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
But I think being the mayor is
not entirely unlike dentistry,
it's
maybe.
It's kind of like pulling teeth, getting things.
Yeah, you got, like you're there to create solutions. Yeah. Every mouth is different. Mm-hmm. Every half an hour or 60 minutes, you're looking at something different, and you better fix it or make it better.
So you decide to at some point to run for city council. What made you do that?
Two things. I was liking policy work up on the Hill. We were getting some things done, like we got the driver's ed curriculum for the state of Utah to mm-hmm. include information about pollution, because most of our pollution comes from cars, but we weren't teaching anybody how to do less of that as drivers.
We should point out that Mayor Mendenhall rode her bike to this taping today. She has a nice an electric bike, very nice bike.
It was a game changer because I don't show up sweaty.
Yeah, they make a big difference.
Yeah. But
as sweaty. For the great bike paths too.
Yeah.
To help encourage. There's more than ever before.
It feels a little more safe.
Yeah.
So anyway, you run for, what was it? Was there any one issue that made you run for city council, or was it
air quality?
It's still air quality.
For
yeah.
sure, mm-hmm. but. The thing that pushed me over, I learned later that I'm not unlike a lot of women in Utah. There's been a lot of research about this, but I had to be asked like 7 times to run. I said no 6 times. Mm-hmm. 7th time I said yes. And turns out that's pretty typical for women.
Did you, was it an easy race? Did you win handily or?
I didn't feel like it was an easy race, mm-hmm. and there was some good competition from somebody who's now my friend, Bill Davis. Mm-hmm. But I won handily. Mm-hmm. And the thing that pushed me into saying yes was that Jill Love, I don't know if you remember Jill. I've just hired her, and she's the chief administrative officer.
Yeah, I do.
She was on the council for many terms, and she wasn't going to run again. And it was Ralph Becker as the mayor, who I liked.
Ralph was a nice guy.
And everybody else was a man. So a male in the mayor's office and 6 council members who were male. And I thought, I do not want to live in a city that is completely run by men. And that's what pushed me into saying yes.
And served on the council for?
2 terms. Well, I got elected 2 terms, and then halfway through my second term, so 6 years, then I ran for mayor. And that was 2019, and I've been doing this since 2020. So it's pretty uneventful.
Who was your first opponent?
Thanks, I appreciate that.
Worldwide pandemic within months.
Easy sailing.
That was simple. Yeah. Well, there was nobody downtown to have to deal with anything, and
there were
which
other
caused other challenges. Yep.
Yes. Yeah. Who did you beat the first time?
You mean for council?
For mayor.
Mayor?
Yeah.
I beat Luz Escamilla.
Oh, yeah. And then
she
Rocky.
She ran a great race.
And then, yeah. And then Rocky Anderson.
This is true.
Yeah. I don't know. We won't get into Rocky.
You want to go there?
I don't want to get into Rocky Anderson, no. I personally like Rocky Anderson. I've had very many nice conversations with him.
Certainly.
And his heart is in the right place, I think. He does come across a little gruff sometimes, but that's it. So you're still enjoying the job. Let's talk about some of the specific things that you've been working on that I am interested in personally, and that's the ballpark neighborhood.
Oh, yeah.
What in the hell is going on with that? And what are we going to do with that stadium?
Big things are going on with that. So for the last 15 months or so, we had made that announcement. Rather, Larry H. Miller made the announcement about the Bees leaving in January of 23. And since that time, we've been doing community-led engagement to figure out how do we want to develop this, what are our guiding principles around it. And that work is pretty much wrapped up now.
Yeah, there were a lot of suggestions.
We also had that design competition.
Yeah, you solicited, solicited designs for the ballpark. Can you tell us what's been settled on?
No, it hasn't been settled.
Okay.
Because we need the purpose of the design competition was to say, let's cast this net as high as you can imagine. What could happen here next? None of it was ever going to be binding. But we wanted to get the juices flowing about what the potential was for 13 and a half acres, which is a huge amount of land in a built-out city, and on a site that's been playing baseball for over a century. Yeah. And the design competition did a good job of that. Then it was time to like really dig in with the community and say, if there is massive change here, meaning does the ballpark stay or does the ballpark go? What kind of activation and priorities do you want to see met? Neighborhood safety is a huge one that came out of this process. Better options for people to come together and hang out every day, 365 days a year. And that's the biggest importance to me.
So utilize it all year round.
You know, we've got a game, 71 days a year? And the rest of the time, it's pretty quiet there. That neighborhood deserves a vibrant, awesome place that lifts people up, makes us want to come together, celebrates the history of the neighborhood, and is a safe space. So these are the guiding principles that have come out of the process. Right now, the Redevelopment Agency of Salt Lake City, who's overseeing this, is in the process of contracting for a design consultant. That's an entity that's going to have a lot of professional heads who bring together the community feedback process, the work we did with the station center plan, the land potential and the density options that we could have, and then the $100 million ballpark trust that Gail Miller just announced a couple of weeks ago. They are leading the first $22 million of the $100 million, and that's the above and beyond. It's the but-for money that I asked them to contribute to the ballpark neighborhood, basically to enrich lives in perpetuity.
There's a lot, you know, there's a lot of culture in that neighborhood, and it kind of goes unnoticed, I think. And that's a shame. There are a lot of... there's just a lot of potential there.
Yeah, there's a lot of history there too.
Yeah.
So this design consultant is going to do something we don't usually do when we have a piece of property in the city, which is propose what could be there based on the community's interests and these opportunities for the $100 million to activate. What is going to be designed ultimately will come down to whether or not there's a ballpark stadium there, and we don't know that yet, but we should know within the next year.
How do you feel about the Major League Baseball park and National Hockey League redoing the whole Salt Palace where we are right now, essentially?
Well, Major League Baseball and National Hockey League, hell yeah, this is a leveling up for our city, and we're ready for it. We've been in the process since 2020, when I came into office, of doubling our downtown population. We're going to be 10,000 residents in the downtown core by the first quarter of next year. We had the strongest downtown recovery in the nation coming out of the pandemic. We held that for about 8 months. We're still way up there at the top. Our economy has flipped now. We used to be all about office. The economic engine of Salt Lake City was 9 to 5. It was people coming to work and going home.
Yeah.
And now that is the minority, and we have outpaced that with entertainment, people shopping, bars and restaurants.
More people living downtown now?
Yes. We'll hit 10,000 by next year, and we've been hovering between 4,000 and 4,900 for decades. You see the conversion of office space to residential space happening downtown, and high towers going up that are new residential happening.
We're more cranes hovering over the city it's just astonishing.
Yeah.
It's a national bird now, the crane.
The crane. Yes.
Well, I'd rather be in this position any day than in a city of decline.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's so we're leveling up, and I think Major League Sports are symbolic, sort of. We're not doing it so we can get those kind of new anchors, but it's appropriate for a city like ours.
How are you getting along with the legislature these days?
That's always been a major, I think, distinction of my style as a mayor from many of our mayors, not all in our past, but, you know, this is my 11th year in City Hall, and I was on the council during the Becker administration last couple of years and Biskupski administration. I've seen
as a resident in the years before that, opportunities go right past us, and that should have been here in Salt Lake City.
Because the mayor of Salt Lake City, which is the capital city, butts heads with the legislature, and the legislature gets pissed off, and
punishment is long.
And then they say, we'll show you, mayor, whoever you are, we'll show you, you can't mess with the Utah State Legislature.
Yeah. And I don't think that's gonna change. How we engage is what we can control. Yeah. I don't think their appetite for potential pain here in the city is diminished, but how we engage determines a lot of that. So I've always said, and I think I've held really true to that, that I'm gonna stay at the table. I'm not gonna get up and walk away. We can't afford to do that.
Yeah.
And I'd rather make some progress than just get a damn headline, because it does not help us in the long run. So back to Major League Baseball and NHL, they were, the downtown bill and the Power District Fair Park bill were really different pieces of legislation. We worked very hard on both of those. I could take them apart from a policy perspective, but ultimately I'm so grateful that the path for those teams, should they come here to Utah, leads to Salt Lake City.
You'd like to take it apart and explain all the bits and pieces of it, wouldn't you? But then that would just bore the hell out of us.
Yeah,
it just bore the hell out of us.
So we'd all understand it quite well, because it's fantastic.
Maybe that's another podcast.
It's what you like to do.
Yeah, I like to know the details, which is not necessarily easy with this job. There's a lot going on.
Are you wonky? Is that what we would say?
I am a little wonky.
Yeah.
Yes.
What is, I guess the overall complexion, that's not the best word to use.
I'm a wonky donkey.
What?
Did you get that?
Democrat.
Remember? Yeah. Did you see that wonky donkey book?
Oh, yeah.
It's hilarious.
The wonky donkey.
I thought you meant Democrat.
I did.
Okay.
I did.
The complexion isn't the right word. The Utah is becoming more secular, and Salt Lake City is becoming more, you know, bluer and more rainbowy. And is that a progress that you like?
Oh yeah. I mean, yeah. I don't know your stories, but I bet there's a similar thread between most of us. That, mm-hmm. You know, I moved downtown, as I mentioned to you, 2 days after I graduated high school, because I felt like I could be me here. And in the suburbs, I didn't feel that way. And we come, you know, whether it's the story of the person who came to ski for 6 months 30 years ago and has never left, or
many of them,
you know, people who came to work for the Olympics in 2002, there's just something about this place that it attracts people who want to be authentic and live in a place that really values community and being different from one another. I think it's no wonder in a region like we are in, that we end up attracting and growing more diversity than you might expect as an outsider from the state of Utah.
Right now, is there one maybe overarching problem that you see that's just kind of looms over the city that you really just feel,
we've got to fix it
somehow.
Literally and figuratively, looming is the Great Salt Lake potential collapse. The the catastrophe that would be for us as a community, people living and breathing, it's just unimaginable. And it's imminent if it isn't corrected. So I do think
the city can't do a lot about that. I mean, they can. I remember you've talked about wastewater, getting some of that that the city produces, getting some of that back to the lake. And I know you've worked.
13 billion gallons.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll paint a quick picture. In the drainage basin that is the water that ultimately could flow or does flow to the Great Salt Lake, of all of that water, cities account for about 9% total. The rest of it, the vast majority of it, as you know, is for agriculture. So of the 9% that goes to cities, our city is a piece of that. And so, it's important. It's very important. It's definitely not the majority of things. But we just completed a year-long audit of all of our
systems. We got a lot of parks, buildings, airport, and spaces that we wanted to know, are there major efficiency upgrades we could make? Mm-hmm. And you're going to see the proposals for many of those in just a couple months when I announce my budget to the city council. Mm. One of those that we knew we could do is take advantage of a new piece of state legislation a couple years ago that allows us to permanently dedicate the 13 billion gallons of water that comes out of our water treatment facility to the lake. And it's important because in a place like Salt Lake that's growing so much, even as, or maybe especially in our warehouse area.
Yeah.
There's a lot of technologies and technologies that otherwise we would want, like chip manufacturing, but that use so much water, they are not, it's not possible. It doesn't make sense. It wouldn't be ethical for us to do that. And yet there, I think, was always that possibility back to our friends at the legislature that they could, you know, have a company that wants to come here, needs a ton of water, and say, Salt Lake City's pumping this water to the lake. We're going to make you dedicate it to industry. And we don't want something like that to happen. That is a hypothetical, but I don't think it's a far reach.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let me make a proposal for about the name of the city. Now you
are we renaming?
Well, yeah, I'd like to, and here's my proposal. I mean, you finally got me on board with the new city flag.
Thank you.
Yes, I'm.
Oh my God!
I was kind of not
you
liking it.
You were kind of not.
Yeah, but I'm on board with it, and I really like the new Utah state flag as well. I think they're both great. They're and you know, people say, well, it's kind of woke, isn't it? And I say, yeah, it really is. It's great. They're woke. I believe that this city used to be called this, and I think we should do it again. We should always call it the Great Salt Lake City.
As we
it's
are
Great Salt Lake
currently
City.
Currently in the Calvin S. Rampton Salt Palace Convention Center. I know I've heard you advocate for the full name here at the Salt Palace.
Oh, the Salt Palace. Yeah, the Calvin L. Rampton.
Calvin
L. Rampton. He was the last Democratic governor we had. Calvin L. Rampton Salt Palace Convention Center. You shouldn't just call it the Salt Palace. You should always call it the Calvin L. Rampton Palace Convention Center.
You converted me. I just messed up his middle initial.
Yeah. Yes.
So
we just call it Great Salt Lake City.
Great Salt Lake City.
You are Aaron Mendenhall, mayor of Great Salt Lake City.
I thought I was going to scoff at your proposal, but that's actually pretty good.
We call the lake the Great Salt Lake.
Yeah.
You brought that up and you said, we need to fix the Great Salt Lake. So it's Great Salt Lake City.
Okay.
And it reminds us of the lake. And we,
I like it.
All right. Keeps it forefront.
Thanks. Wait, I thought you might want to name the team potentials here.
Team potentials?
Yeah.
I haven't given that much thought, actually. You mean
I'd like you to.
The Major League Baseball and the hockey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could you think on that and get back
to me? I will.
I actually don't get to name any of them.
No. You could suggest.
Sometimes I can lean.
Two terms as mayor of Salt Lake. Is that enough? What are you going to do? There's no term limits.
No, but we're Salt Lakers, and I think we...
Great Salt Lakers.
Thank you. We are. We are.
We're great Salt
staying
Lakers.
On brand.
Great Salt Lakers. And I think we... I haven't seen us like three terms in a mayor since Ted.
Ted did do three terms, yeah.
Yeah. And then Ted left in the midst of his third.
That's right.
Ted Wilson, by the way, is
wonderful
the greatest
guy.
Mayor
yeah.
Salt Lake City's ever had.
You think?
Yeah.
He was, I'm talking of him in the past tense, but he's still with us.
Yep.
He's one of the kindest, greatest guys I have ever interviewed or talked to. He's super.
He's a great person.
Yeah.
We don't have a center named after him, but we should.
I agree. maybe the new hockey arena, the Ted Wilson. Anyway,
I'll say that there's 8 years, two terms is a long time in some sense, but mm-hmm. for the scale of transformation that we have at our fingertips right now, projects like the Green Loop. That I want to see happen.
I was going to bring that up. It's a fascinating idea. Did you model that on something else somewhere?
Yeah, like all of Europe. Just kidding, not exactly, but you know, the idea that all our, what is our roadway space, maybe should be reprioritized in part for pedestrians and trees and beauty.
You know the green, you know the green loop, what that is, Jimmy?
I'm familiar with it, that, yeah, that what? You're gonna do a very large loop around the city.
Five and a half miles.
5.5 miles, green space, but bicycle, pedestrian.
Yeah, I like to praise Brigham Young for buying up our water rights, which he did very well, and making, you know, 6 ox cart U-turn capability in our downtown city streets. It's a great, in many ways, it's a good problem for us to have. Mm-hmm. It's hard to cross as a pedestrian, but we don't need all of that space for cars.
Nope.
And there are streets like Second East and Fifth West that should be, and I believe they should be converted into mostly park space. We'd still allow for vehicles to come through, they would mostly be park space.
No, that's a good idea. You did activated it with the tiny little last year, the pop-up.
Yeah.
That was great.
Thanks.
That was great.
It
you
was
had a coffee
great.
Sitting against one of them the other, you know, last year.
Yeah.
I do a lot of walking in downtown, so it was nice.
Jimmy, do you have, before we, how long have we been? We've only been, we're good. Do you want to do any news?
Shall I do a splash of news?
We usually have Jimmy do a little, he finds these odd little stories about drinking and
fun
and eating and
and such. All right, splash of news. Just 2 quick stories here. In the ever wonder portion of the news, ever wonder what the difference between a rocks glass and an old fashioned glass is? The rocks and old fashioned glass serve similar purposes. Both are short glasses meant for holding neat pours, or a spirit with an ice cube or two, or a cocktail such as a Sazerac, and yes, of course, the old fashioned. Here's where both glasses perform this job well, though there are key differences. The old fashioned glass is smaller, served with a single ice cube, thicker base to then hold up for muddling. You know, and you and you designed, the glass was designed for the drink to be built in the glass. So you're not using a cocktail shaker or a mixing glass. You're building everything right in there. The rocks glasses are larger, known as a double old-fashioned glass, and is more versatile as it can hold drinks with multiple ingredients. I guess that explains why I like the rocks glass better.
Multiple ingredients.
A double.
Or just the same ingredient. Tripled or
triple.
How do you make your old fashioned?
So rather than the sugar cube and bitters, I do break it down to turbinado sugar, simple syrup, I do a mixing there. Not a lot of muddling, but more expressing of the orange, keeping it cleaner. Keeping it cleaner, and I do a stir down and then a strain, so it's nice and clean, so the flavors come about.
What bitter do you like?
I'm just either Scrappy's Orange Bitter or Angostura, if I have it. I'm not, And we've got, it's beautiful that we have so many bitters companies right here.
Yeah. My favorite is one of those.
Which one?
Do you do the Walnut Bitters Lab?
It's Bitters Lab, but their aromatic bitters are so good.
The menthol,
they
the
transform an old fashioned.
Okay. Learning cocktail.
I like Angostura only because I remember it from my childhood. My mother would use, she'd have half a grapefruit and sprinkle Angostura bitters all over the grapefruit.
I'm going to try that.
It's very good. Maybe she put a little sprinkle of sugar and then Angostura and then eat the grapefruit. That was great.
That's delicious.
I think old-fashioned making is kind of like taco salad.
Like, there's an art to it.
Well, everybody does their own way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got your own.
Now, I make Manhattans, and it's and I shake them. You say you're not supposed to do that, but I like them really cold.
Sure.
So I do them in a shaker.
Yeah, it's a 2-to-1 ratio.
And then you have to buy the Luxardo cherries. You know the Luxardo cherries,
though.
Yes. Have to have those around.
Don't give me that stemmed cherry and water.
That goes on a banana split.
Yeah.
Well, that's when we first met online. It was during COVID, and I was doing a lot of virtual tastings. Not that you attended this tasting, but I created the Manhattan cocktail, Taste of History. And I walked people through 90-minute orating history of the 150-year history of the Manhattan cocktail from pre-Prohibition, during Prohibition, and modern day. And we actually launched that over the Airbnb experience. And I was doing this, I only did it like 18 times, but I only did it to people in the United States once. Everybody was in Europe, Spain, Northern Europe, London. And it was a blast to be able to not only keep myself busy, but engage with people over a passionate topic. And
I want to take it, do it again.
Now we've brought it in person, and we perform it quite often, but I'll reach out to you.
WineAcademyOfUtah.com. That's right. It's where you'll find all of that Jimmy stuff, which he does very well. Is that about it? Do you have any idea that you would like to have a higher political office than mayor of Great Salt Lake?
You know, I'm a Democrat, and in this state, yeah. I think I have the best job for a Democrat in the state of Utah. So I'm really satisfied.
I feel bad for those Democrats up on the Hill. My God.
I'm so grateful that they will do it.
I'm glad they're there, but what are there, eight? Eight of them, 10 of them, something like that?
Not enough.
Well, if we can get the legislature, I mean, this gerrymandering crap, get that taken care of, maybe we could have some more.
Maybe.
All right. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Great Salt Lake City Mayor Aaron Mendenhall. That's about it. What's your bunny's name, Dawson?
Mr. Fluffers.
I see.
Ooh.
He had a difficult childhood, I can tell. Thank you for watching. Thank you for watching and listening and whatever you're doing right now. If you have any questions or comments, you can go to the Let's Go Eat Show at gmail.com and make your comments, make your... if you'd like to come and watch a taping of this show, you could. Just ask for it. And you'll be asking for it if you do it. The Let's Go Eat Show at gmail.com. Thanks to everybody for being there, and we'll see you again.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Let's Go Eat and Drink Show with Bill Allred and Jimmy Santangelo. You can contact Jimmy at www.thewineacademyofutah.com. As for Bill Allred, it might be best to just leave him alone. Comments, questions, or angry complaints to the management should be directed to the Let's Go Eat Show at gmail.com. The Let's Go Eat and Drink Show is produced by Dawson Dow. Our theme music was composed and recorded by Doug Wild. Recording facilities as needed are furnished by the Visit Salt Lake Media Center at www.visitsaltlake.com. The show is a Double Plus production. I'm Zach Caton. They got the mayor. Are we qualified for that? Tough act for the next guest to follow.